Hello, fellow movie fans. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as I talk with Monsignor Charles Pope about the movie that changed his life, Toy Story. You might have heard of it, but if you haven't, don't worry. We're going to give you all the details to follow along. Like everyone who watched Toy Story back in 1985, my mind was blown away by the animation that Pixar created in that movie. The other thing that blew me away was the level of emotion and humanity that each one of the toys, who are the main characters, carried with them. Toy Story is about a little boy named Andy and the family of toys that he has shared his life with for most of his childhood. We meet Andy and his toys on the eve of his birthday, when he's given a new toy in the form of Space Ranger Buzz Lightyear.
I am Buzz Lightyear. I come in peace.
Oh, I'm so glad you're not a dinosaur.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, thank you all for your kind welcome.
Say, what's that button do?
I'll show you.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Wow.
Hey, Woody's got something.
Buzz Lightyear becomes Andy's favorite new toy, which causes his former favorite toy, Sheriff Woody, to become extremely insecure and angry. And his mission in life becomes trying to get rid of Buzz.
That's it!
Unidirectional bonding strip.
Mr. Lightyear wants more tape.
Listen, Lightsnack, you stay away from Andy. He's mine, and no one is taking him away from me.
What are you talking about?
Where's that bonding strip?
And another thing, stop with this spaceman thing. It's getting on my nerves.
Are you saying you want to lodge a complaint with Star Command?
Oh, okay. Ooh, well, so you want to do it the hard way, huh?
Don't even think about it, cowboy.
Oh, yeah? Tough guy?
Buzz Lightyear is voiced by Tim Allen, and Sheriff Woody is voiced by the one and only Tom Hanks. And even though Toy Story is a kids' movie, there are so many layers to it, including the major existential questions of all of our lives. Why are we here on Earth? What are our roles? And what can we contribute? Monsignor Charles Pope is a pastor in D.C., and when he was 33, Toy Story entered his life in a moment of crisis.
I'd been asked to take a parish. I was one of the youngest priests that had ever been asked to be a pastor in the diocese. And so, you know, maximum promotion.
Yeah, it's a huge
prestige,
compliment.
Yeah, compliment. Yeah. But it was a difficult parish, and it had very serious financial problems and so on. And I said yes, but I began to have panic attacks. I just wasn't able to handle the stress level.
Mm.
And so at some point, I finally had to, I was hospitalized for a week.
Mm.
And they did evaluations, and then I was asked to take a month off. And let's just say the assignment did not continue.
Oh, wow. And that itself is so hard to take.
It is.
Because something that was given for you that was such a promotion, that was such a compliment, then to have it taken away.
Yeah,
That's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big wound to my pride, which was really probably my problem. I probably should not have said yes. I wasn't ready for a challenge like that yet. I probably should have prayed more and said, I'm not sure, so sure I'm ready for that just yet. I need more time.
Mm. So you went to see Toy Story in the midst of all of this.
Right. And it was interesting. On the way to see Toy Story, the religious sister that I went with, we were held up at gunpoint.
Oh, my God.
Right outside the convent. And I was in such a low state at the time that I said, go ahead and kill me. I didn't literally say that out loud, but I felt that way. But I was with Sister Charlotte, Sister Charlotte Marshall. And she said, we are being held up. You must give them your wallet. The guy hit me with the weapon, kind of pistol whipped me.
And, oh, my God.
And ran off with it. And but, you know, at that point, I was in such, you know, kind of psychologically bad shape that I was just shook it off. I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And we went in, did the police report and said, well, let's get the later show. So instead of going to the 6 o'clock
show. The resilience of you guys.
Yeah. We went to the 8:30 show and we decided to see it. And going in, it spoke very powerfully to me.
Hmm.
Particularly the figure Buzz Lightyear, because that's who I thought I was, you know, Buzz Lightyear. I was young and proud. I was just coming out of my 20s, and guys in their 20s usually think they can do anything, you know.
you're always saying to infinity and beyond.
To infinity and beyond. That was my what a wonderful motto.
Really, yeah.
Impossible, but a wonderful motto.
Yeah.
And he so much represented me before I'll just call it my nervous breakdown.
Mm.
And I was amazed my gosh, that was me. Mm. I thought I could do anything. And, you know, Buzz actually believed his own bluster. He thought that the mothership was just out of range. Yeah. He kept calling for the mothership.
I mean, he didn't question it at all. Right. I mean, right. I rewatched the film before coming to speak with you, and I was amazed by, I mean, he is dedicated. He has such confidence mm-hmm. in the fact that he is an astronaut.
Yeah.
He is Buzz Lightyear. He doesn't question it.
Yeah. And that's, I think we should be doing a lot of questioning. Mm-hmm. But when you're in your 20s, I can't speak for every 20-some-year-old, but when I was in my 20s, I didn't do a lot of questioning. I felt like I could almost do anything. Mm. And I just discovered I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I was horrified. And there comes this critical moment in Buzz Lightyear's life in the movie where he realizes, you know, Woody kept telling him in the movie, you're just a toy.
Yeah, you're just a toy.
This isn't for real. And no, the mothership must be just out of range. But at some point, that critical moment in Sid's house where he tries to escape and falls over the rail and the arm falls off.
Yeah.
And that blatant song that clearly I will go sailing no more. And I started to cry at that moment in the movie because I felt that way. I felt damaged. I felt, you know, just all my power was gone, and I felt just useless. I felt embarrassed.
Mm.
I thought, well, maybe the diocese is just, I'm just a burden to the diocese. But I was just so devastated, and I thought, I will go sailing no more. Mm. And that was kind of my theme song. But Buzz recovered, and so have I in these years that have passed.
And I will go sailing no more.
Buzz, hey, Buzz, are you okay?
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Who's here?
What happened to you?
One minute you're defending the whole galaxy, and suddenly you find yourself sucking down Darjeeling with
Marie Antoinette and her little sister.
I think you've had enough tea for today. Let's get you out of here, Buzz.
Don't you get it? You see the hat? I am Mrs. Nesbitt.
Snap out of it, Buzz!
I'm sorry. You're right. I am just a little depressed, that's all. I can get through this.
Oh, I'm a sham!
So in the blog post that you wrote, you talk a little bit about this realization that Buzz Lightyear has, and that ultimately you had, and it's just so beautiful. I want to read it back to you. He said, God wasn't done with Buzz Lightyear. In the end, Buzz does save the day by simply being who he needs to be, a toy, and who he was made to be, a toy. And then you said, in our greatness does not come from our own self-inflated actions, but from God. And God doesn't need us to pretend to be something we're not. What he needs is for us to be exactly what he needs us to be. And it is often in our weakness that he is able to do his greatest work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I think that's exactly what you're talking about here, is that realization that Buzz ultimately gets to, right? Once he realizes that he is just a toy,
mm-hmm.
there's that real serious depression he falls into, right? He's like incapable of doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Then Woody is also depressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They depress each other when they're both like, what can we do? We're just toys.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do, be what we've been made to be. And it's an insight that so often the great patriarchs in the Bible had to have a mighty fall, you know, and had to struggle. And it was in their weakness that God could use them. I think of Jacob, who had to lean on the staff, and he was finally old enough and humble enough that God could trust him. Or Moses, you know, at age 40, thought he was in the prime of his life. He was going to save the Jewish people. No, he was too proud, and he ended up murdering a man.
Yeah.
And God said, off to the desert with you. Mm. I'm going to humble you. And you'll raise a family. That'll really humble you. and then finally at 80, Moses was now weak enough that God could really be his strength.
Yeah.
And that's the insight. And I think in my own life, in my own struggle, it was to realize that saying of St. Paul, for when I am weak, then I'm really strong.
Mm.
Because then the power of God will rest on me.
Yeah.
And so that's my religious understanding of that. But I'd always recited the text, but to actually be living it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And also, but it was a powerful moment. And what's interesting, too, is that God uses almost evil in the Buzz Lightyear story.
Mm.
this kid, Sid, who's just a nasty kid.
I know. There don't seem to be a lot of redeeming qualities to Sid. I got to tell you. He tortures his sister's toys.
Yeah.
He completely decapitates all the toys he has and then makes them into these grotesque kind of creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But somewhere in the midst of experiencing all that evil, Buzz is also instructed. And the kid makes this rocket and he's going to, you know, send him off to probably just try to think of destroying the toy Buzz Lightyear. But at the end, that's the very thing God used. That rocket was just what they needed at the moment when he was able to soar. He did go sailing.
Yeah.
And he saved the day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't interesting. It wasn't in any of the ways he thought. It wasn't through his own weightlifting or getting back.
Yeah.
It was
through his laser.
just letting life unfold and letting God make use of what was to fulfill the ends.
And what he had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Woody, what are you doing?
Hold still, Buzz.
You did it. Next stop, Andy.
Wait a minute. I just lit a rocket.
Rockets explode!
Should have held on longer.
Look, it's Woody and Buzz coming up fast!
This isn't flying, this is falling with style.
To infinity and beyond!
One thing that I'm struck by, I think I've seen the movie maybe now like 6 times, and in this recent time watching it, what really struck me was how every single toy had a purpose. Mm-hmm. And helped in their own way,
mm-hmm.
and how coming together as a group was actually how they were able to make anything happen, change happen.
Right.
And it really brought home that idea that we were just talking about all of us having the purpose that God gave us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just by being ourselves.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, you know, as you have kind of grown and gone older and further in your career as a priest, how this movie and the lessons you learned from it have also changed with you, how they continue to inform you.
Well, and the point you were making is so important. I haven't learned just to depend on God, but to depend on others.
Yes.
Whom God sends me.
Yes.
And in my own spiritual walk, I've just had to learn, I don't have all the gifts and you don't have all the gifts, but together we have all the gifts, like you were saying with the toys. And that's a beautiful insight. And it's somehow they all work together. And sometimes through their conflicts, like Woody and Buzz.
Yeah.
A lot of conflict.
Yeah.
But in that conflict, there's truth.
Yeah.
And somewhere, we're having a hard time these days, I think, realizing that even in conflict, if we can stay in a conversation, in a relationship, you'd be surprised how much we can learn from each other.
Yeah. And a lot of that conflict actually between the two of them is ego, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's lack of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have to be kind of humbled.
They kind of meet their match in each other.
Yes.
And I've found that in life, that there are people that I've met my match in them. And I say, ooh, you know, and I've discovered the thing I most dislike about them is the thing I most dislike about myself.
Oh, I hate that that's
they're
true, but it's true.
They're much more similar to me than I am, than I like to admit.
According to my Nava computer, the...
Shut up! Just shut up, you idiot!
Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic! I'm lost. Andy is gone. They're going to move from their house in 2 days, and it's all your fault.
My fault? If you hadn't pushed me out of the window in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you hadn't shown up your stupid little cardboard spaceship and taken away everything that was important to me.
Don't talk to me about importance. Because of you, the security of this entire universe is in jeopardy.
What? What are you talking about?
Right now, poised at the edge of the galaxy,
Emperor Zurg has been secretly building a weapon with the destructive capacity to annihilate an entire planet.
I alone have information that reveals this weapon's only weakness.
And you, my friend, are responsible for delaying my rendezvous with Star Command!
You are a toy! You weren't the real Buzz Lightyear. You're an action figure. You are a child's plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity. Farewell.
Oh, yeah? Well, good riddance, you loony. Rendezvous with Star Command.
I guess I had to process the movie even later. You know, you sort of have the moment, but
yeah.
Later as you reflect, and as I will say, to come out of the difficulty I was in took a good 15 years, really, of long psychotherapy, spiritual direction, sacraments and prayer and deliverance ministry, all these things that we do in the church, but also psychotherapy was very important. I learned so much about who I really am, not who I think I ought to be, you know, the Charles as he ought to be.
Yeah.
And here's the Charles who really is. Mm. And with his strengths and his weaknesses and his needs and his what he can offer, and somewhere to discover that I did go sailing again.
Mm. You know?
And yet, in a very different way, as a humbler man, more dependent, more realizing I don't have all the answers and I need to ask for help and I really need. I still struggle with being opinionated, you know, as we see in the sequels, Buzz Lightyear is still sort of the same old Buzz Lightyear.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
A little blustery, but somehow.
Didn't change his personality. Yeah.
But somehow the worst of it's been dealt with. And I hope that for me, as I make my journey to greater and greater humility out of pride, that I'll just be able to, again, allow the Lord to do the work he needs to do in my life.
Mm, that's beautiful. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about Toy Story that you really want to say or talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is this one area here that actually two areas if I could.
Yeah, of course.
I often use Buzz Lightyear when I do men's ministry.
Oh, wow.
Because, again, a lot of men, too, we have a very idealistic sense of ourselves, in some sense, masculinity is in crisis today, you know, and sometimes we overcorrect and we want to be big and blustery. So I use it a lot with men as a kind of a spiritual journey, sometimes in groups of men or just sometimes in individual spiritual direction. And they kind of scratch their head when I tell them to watch Toy Story.
Yeah, immediately they don't get it, right? Because
right. You
associate it with a kid's movie, but then you watch it and you go, oh, yeah. My God, this is not.
Right.
There's so much depth here.
Yeah. The other thing is, there is the final scene where Buzz saves the day and he's reuniting Woody and himself with Andy and the young boy who loves him. But his ability to do this was made possible because another child strapped a rocket to him. The child had misused Buzz.
Yeah. But
in accepting this humiliation, Buzz actually comes alive. And there's a line in the Bible where Joseph is finally reunited with his brothers who tried to kill him, and then they figured, we'll make money and we'll sell him into slavery.
Mm.
And he says, don't worry, he says, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good.
Mm.
There's a saying in gospel music, God can make a way out of no way.
Mm.
And he can write straight with crooked lines. Mm. And there's something powerful about the fact that God can even use the evils and injustices that we experience as a way to bring us healing and to make us even more vital in his work to save the world and to save so many others. So all of these are just ways of saying that night I got held up at gunpoint. You know, the humiliation even got deeper. I felt like the old me would have wanted to protect the good sister I was with, and I would have saved the day, and I would have confronted the guy and sent him running. But thanks be to God, I was at that point humble enough that there wasn't enough of a fight in me. And I might have died that night, and maybe the sister would have died and been hurt.
Mm.
But in that injustice that we experienced, somewhere the Lord was also working and setting me up to see something in that movie that I might not have seen that night if I'd been the big hero and saved the day.
Oh, come on, Buzz. Buzz, I can't do this without you. I need your help.
I can't help. I can't help anyone.
Well, sure you can, Buzz. You can get me out of here, and then I'll get that rocket off you, and we'll make a break for Andy's house.
Andy's house? Sid's house? What's the difference?
Oh, Buzz, you've had a big fall. You must not be thinking clearly.
No, Woody. For the first time, I am thinking clearly. You were right all along. I'm not a space ranger. I'm just a toy, a stupid, little, insignificant toy.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Being a toy is a lot better than being a space ranger.
Yeah, right.
No, it is. Look, over in that house is a kid who thinks you are the greatest, and it's not because you're a space ranger, pal. It's because you're a toy. You are his toy.
But why would Andy want me?
Why would Andy want you? Look at you! You're a Buzz Lightyear! Any other toy would give up his moving parts just to be you. You've got wings! You glow in the dark! You talk! Your helmet does that whoosh thing! You are a cool toy! As a matter of fact, you're too cool. I mean, what chance does a toy like me have against a Buzz Lightyear action figure? All I can do is...
There's a snake in my boots!
Why would Andy ever want to play with me when he's got you? I'm the one that should be strapped to that rocket. Buzz! What are you doing? I thought you...
Come on, Sheriff. There's a kid over in that house who needs us. Now let's get you out of this thing.
Yes, sir! Come on, Buzz, we can do it!
Monsignor Charles Pope is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church in Washington, D.C. Before his pastoring days, he was a church musician and a computer systems analyst with the Army Corps of Engineers.
I was on top of the world, living high. It was right in my pocket.
Next time, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, father-daughter relationships, specifically in Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. Fair warning in advance, it is emotional. You are going to cry. Find it on all of the usual streaming sites or at your local library. This Movie Changed Me is produced by Maya Terrell, Chris Hegel, Tony Lee Yu, and Marie Sambalay, and is an On Being Studios production. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like listening. Special shout out this week to Karen C. for her kind and thoughtful email to us. We love that you're thinking about what movies changed you. One of Karen's picks is My Cousin Vinny, and I love that movie too because it features Marissa Tomei in an Oscar-winning performance, playing a woman who is underestimated the entire movie and ends up cracking the case. I'm Lily Percy, and you've got a friend in me.